and welcome to Romford Baptist Church this morning. It's great to have you online wherever you are, and thank you for joining with us. My name is Ian, and I'm one of the ministers of the church here. Vicky's going to be taking part later, but we have a special treat this morning that Pete and Louise Lynch are also sharing with us, our link missionaries from Bangladesh, and we are really delighted to have them with us, and we want to say thank you for being a part of this service. In the book of Revelation, it says this: "Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are all your ways. King of the nations, who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." Our first hymn is that great hymn, "Holy, Holy, Lift Up His Names." We have sung our praise together, and now we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our Lord, our Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for your greatness and your power, your dominion and your reign. We thank you, Lord, that you are present among us today, and you are here in our worship wherever we are. And Lord, this morning we come to give you our praise and worship. We come to proclaim you as our holy God. We come in awe and wonder. Lord, we recognize we have done things that have offended you and offended one another. And Lord, for this, we want to come in repentance and to know of the forgiveness that's offered to us through your Son, Jesus, our Saviour. And Lord, as we have asked for forgiveness, help us to forgive ourselves and those who have hurt us. We pray this in the Lord's name, who taught us to say when we pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen." Some words from Psalm 139. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in before and behind, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Our next song is "At the Cross, O Lord." Today you are needing to know that love that God has for you, that song has just been singing about, and also the words of the Psalms. Let's pray. And Lord, into each home, into the stillness of troubled minds, we pray those words of Christ: "Peace, be still." Lord, in your presence, we long afresh to know the affirmation of your hand and your word speaking into our lives. And so, Lord, today we pray Holy Spirit into each and every life watching this service online, wherever they may be this morning. Lord, to those who are struggling and finding no peace, we pray peace. To those riddled with guilt and don't know how to overcome, we pray your forgiveness, your healing, and your calm. Those who are terrified and fearful about what's going on in the world, we pray, Lord, that today they will know the word hope, the Advent word on this Advent Sunday, hope, the hope of Christ. Come into the lives of each and every person watching this service this morning, we pray. Amen. If you're new to Romford Baptist Church, you may not know that we have link missionaries in several parts of the world. Sofia in Bulgaria, in Moldova with a couple of our members, Andy and Rihanna. And we have links with BMS World Mission. Two partnership links, one in East Asia, and today we're hearing from Pete and Louise Lynch, who are our link missionaries in Bangladesh. And here they're going to tell us a bit about their work.
Hello, Romford Baptist Church.
We are Pete and Louise Lynch. We normally work in Bangladesh with BMS World Mission, but we're on home assignment and in lockdown in North Devon. So this is coming from a small room in my parents' house. We really, really would like to be with you, but here we are on video instead. We're going to show you a couple of videos in a moment about some of the work that we do in Bangladesh. One of the things when you move to a new country is that you want to be able to speak the language and you want to be able to greet people properly. And we quickly discovered this was quite complicated in Bangladesh because it's really, really important that you know who you are speaking to and you know something about them before you can get your greeting right. So when we walk down the street and we greet the guard at the end of our street and our neighbours, they're all Muslim, and so we say Assalamu alaikum. And they say
reply,
hi.
Or they would reply, Amalaikum Assalam.
When we are in the villages in the north of Bangladesh, we will quite often greet people with Johar. And in other villages, we will say Namushka, because they are Hindu villages. It's also important to know the kind of relationship you have with people. So to be really respectful, when we ask people how they are, we say Kemon Achen. But when we're chatting to the children outside our gate who are normally playing cricket, we say Kemona Cho. But the greeting we most like to give is the one that the Christians use at the beginning of every church service, public meeting, business meeting, Zoom in meeting even. The Christians put their hands together and they say Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
A greeting and a profound theological statement. God is with us. So, Shabaike Emmanuel. We are seconded to work with the Bangladesh Baptist Church, and so we live in Mirpur, but we also work across the whole of Bangladesh. The Shongo, which is the Christian organisation of Baptist churches, they have a real passion to make Jesus known across Bangladesh. And we have two short videos that give a little flavour of what some of the work looks like in practice. This is the work of the Bangladeshi Christians. This is the work that we're involved in. And this is the work that you are also involved in through our partnership together. We've called the first video relief, but at one level, it's about bringing practical help to people who have experienced disasters. But I think it is also, we could call it Emmanuel, as it's an illustration of what God is with us can mean. The pictures are ours, and the music you're going to hear alongside it is in Bangla, and it's an old hymn that asks God for his grace and his forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for the way that you have supported us and BMS through these last years that we've been in Bangladesh. The videos we've shown are really a testimony to your work and your partnership, as well as to the work of the Bangladeshi Christians. It is a real privilege for us to be able to share in this work, and hopefully you feel a bit excited about some of the things that we've been involved in and the things that you are supporting through your partnership. Our role is mainly to walk alongside the leaders, to be supportive, to demonstrate the truth that we are all part of God's family and we follow where they lead. And that's taken us into some really interesting places and doing some stretching things for us. But the truth we really want to share with you today is that God is at work in Bangladesh and we are all following God's lead. He is speaking directly to people and calling them to himself. We're going to show you a little video now of some people being baptised. These are mainly young people who are demonstrating their faith by walking through the village to their local pond. These young people have grown up mainly in the church, In other places, other people are taking the same journey, but more privately, as it would be too risky to make such a public declaration. But as we said, God is calling people to himself, and we are joining in and invited to join in with God's mission. And now we invite you to join us as we walk to the pond.
Thank you, Pete and Lou, for that sharing of your story. And we're going to hear more from Pete as he brings God's word later in this service. Thank you, too, for your partnership in supporting works like the work in Bangladesh through our giving as a church. As you give to the church is able to give to work like that in Bangladesh. And please bear that in mind as you bring your offerings to God in a few moments. Our next song talks about God's love that reaches throughout the whole of the world. Everyone.
We have got our regular activities on a Tuesday. We have got the prayer meeting via Zoom and journeys. There is a whole wealth of youth and children's activities happening this week. In particular, we've got the Youth Creative Hub, which is this Wednesday at 6:30. So if you have young people in your family, please do encourage them to join. As the national lockdown is lifting this week, we are allowed to have people back in the building next week. So if you would like to be here next Sunday morning, please can you book? You need to book via the email or the phone number that is on the notice sheet. Booking is essential, and you will be notified to say that you have a place reserved, and you will be given the information that you need to adhere to in terms of the guidelines. Guidelines that we're all used to now, but please, it is important that you do adhere to them while you're in the building. We have got a whole wealth of Christmas activities happening. First of all, if you would like to deliver some Christmas information to your neighbours or to streets, you will be given the, I don't know if you can see them on the screen here, it looks quite small, but that's because I'm far away. But inside the card, there is information of our online services. And also in there, you will be given a wooden Christmas decoration in the shape of a dove. So that will be going to your neighbours as well. If you would like to do this, though, we need to know by today, because we need to know how many Christmas decorations of doves that we need to order. So if you would like to do that, please could you contact the church today as a deadline. Thank you. Unfortunately, we will not be able to do Christmas cards this year as we would normally do. Therefore, if you would like to send a message to the church, the deadline is the 9th of December. If you could email it into the church office with a greeting that you'd like to share, please do include your name. And towards Christmas, that will go out as part of the notice sheet with everybody's messages collated all together. The Christmas trail is going to be starting on the 6th of December, and you can do it between the 6th and the 20th of December. It is for all ages. I'm going to be doing it. I'm looking forward to strolling the streets with a cup of takeaway coffee and doing that. So if you would like to do it, the information will be coming out soon. If you're one of the houses that has volunteered to put a poster up, you will be receiving that this week. So thank you very much for that. And then finally, it has been announced today that the government are allowing to do outdoor Christmas carol services. So we are... Sorry, Ian just nodded me. with singing. Yes, with singing is the key thing, with singing. So at this moment, because it has literally been announced today, a survey is going to be going out to everybody. Ian's going to press the button as I speak to everybody, just to gauge people's ideas. We are thinking of doing it on Christmas Eve in the afternoon, obviously in the car park, for around 40 minutes. However, in order to do it, we do need volunteers, we need chairs moved outside, we need stewards, there's a whole wealth of things that we needed to be done. And we also need to see if people want to do it. So please do fill out the survey. One of the key things is, though, you would need to reserve a place, because in order to sing, you have to be seated. So the survey is going out. Please do fill it in, and we'll let you know in due course what is decided. Thank you very much.
Good morning and welcome to everyone. I'm Vicky and I'm delighted to be able to share in our service together, and I'm going to wave for all of those of you who I know enjoy being able to wave from wherever you may be today. We've already heard about how our offerings are able to make a difference, not just here but also further afield, and so we're going to pray now for our offerings, whether you have done them online, drop them into the office directly via the bank, or you'll be bringing them next week when you're able to join with us again. Let us come to God. Father God, we thank you that we can give to you. We thank you that you give in abundance to us in so many ways. And Father God, in all that we give, may, Lord, we know that you can use it to make a difference, to bring hope, to bring joy, to, Lord, make a difference in someone's life. Help us to be generous in our giving, because, Lord, we know that you are generous to a fault to us. Be with us, Lord, we pray, in all that we give. Amen. Well, I've changed my glasses twice and I still can't work out which ones I need, so I'll try these ones again. We have, as you know, asked for your photos for over the next 4 weeks of our Advent challenges. And today our theme is hope. We have seen hope in reality, in practical ways, as we watched that video from Peter and Louise. We know, if we look at our Bibles, how many verses there are that we can see and take encouragement from. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. In Romans, for in this hope we were saved. We have countless opportunities as we read our Bibles to be reminded of hope. And as we will watch this video now, we will see just how many ways people have taken hope from the Bible, from creation, from the things that are around them. Enjoy the video.
A familiar flame is ignited, a flame of hope, to remind us again of the road we have travelled. For the very light that we have kindled exists only because our God once declared that it should be. Though we struggle to make sense of the world that surrounds us, and pathways ahead are shrouded in uncertainty and foreboding, we will not surrender to despair or indifference, for God's purpose prevails even when obscured by our expectations. Its light draws our eyes away from the darkness, the confusion and struggles of this earthly journey. Not to escape or ignore their reality, but to remember that in every circumstance, God is present. And spurred by the stories of God's hand in our history, inspired by the example of those who have been caught up in his purpose, we open ourselves to be servants of the Most High, to embrace the present, assured of God's faithfulness.
Thank you.
their photos in, and I hope you continue to look forward to the weeks to come. Hope, hope fulfilled, hopes to come, hope, because that God is with us. And that video started with an Advent blessing of hope that came from the Northern Baptist Association, Northwestern Baptist Association, and it was great to have that included within us, all reminding us that God is with us. And why do we have a hope? Because as our next song...
Good morning, Romford Baptist Church. It's really good to be here with you. We've come outside here on the North Devon coast to give you a bit of the great outdoors during these days of lockdown. As Louise has already said, we greet each other in Bangladesh with the word Emmanuel. And obviously that word has significance, particularly at this time of year. And it's more than just a greeting, it's saying something. It's saying that God is with us. And that's what I want us to think about a little bit this morning. What does it mean when we say God is with us? When we say Emmanuel, is God with us? Is God Emmanuel? I want to take you to a room in Dhaka just a few weeks ago before we returned to the UK. We were with a group of about 25 people who'd come from different parts of the country who were new believers in Jesus. They weren't from a Christian background, and they were trying to understand more about what it was to be a follower of Jesus, and were preparing for baptism. And the consequences, or that decision to be a follower of Jesus, has big consequences, or can have big consequences in Bangladesh, because it's not just a decision about a personal faith, but it has big repercussions in terms of identity, in terms of needing to register with government what your religion is, and the possible dangers and threats that may come along with that change of faith. And so as someone teaching, you go quite carefully and hopefully wisely into those type of conversations. And I was thinking about what should be shared, and asked the group, what was it that had brought them to this point where they were sitting in this room? And one of the young guys said this. He said, well, I have come to see Jesus as the great light. He has been revealed to me. And I want to know more about him, who he is. I want to know what he's saying to me and how I can follow him. And so my mind went to what the scripture says about that question. Who is this Jesus? Because that's not a new question or a Bangladesh question. It's actually a huge question that has always been on the lips of people since the days that Jesus walked the earth. It's the question that the gospel writers were trying to answer, particularly the Gospel of Mark, when he was writing about the life of Jesus. He was trying to answer that question. Who is this? Because it was the question on the lips of everybody who was seeing Jesus in action. Let me take you really quickly through Mark's gospel. This may be a big ask, but let me take you really, really quickly, like I did with those guys who were in that room in Dhaka. In chapter 1, Jesus is straight into teaching and preaching. He's in Capernaum, and he's teaching in a way that the people hadn't heard before. Chapter 1, they say to him, when they hear him teaching, they say, wow, we've not heard anything like this before. And then while he's in the middle of teaching, someone troubled by evil spirits bursts onto the scene and starts shouting in earshot of Jesus and everybody around, starts shouting, I know who you are. I know who you are. Have you come to destroy us? And Jesus commands the evil spirit that's speaking through the man to come out of him, and the man is set free. And again, the crowd, the words on the lips of the crowd "Ah, who is this? That even the demons are obeying him. Who is this who teaches with such authority?" And then in chapter 2, Mark takes us to a different scene. It's a busy house, again in Capernaum. And while Jesus is teaching with crowds of people bursting out of this small house, the roof starts to open up. And in this dramatic scene, a paralyzed man is lowered by his friends right in front of Jesus in the middle of the house. And as if the scene wasn't dramatic enough, Jesus says to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." And immediately there's outrage, particularly from the religious leaders, because they rightly say, "Jesus, you can't say this sort of thing. Only God can forgive sins. This is blasphemy." But Jesus responds with these words. He says, "To show you that I have authority to forgive sins." Then he says to the man, "Get up, pick up your mat, and go home." And again, the response of the people watching and the storyline that Mark is weaving through his gospel is the question that was on everyone's lips. Who's this who says he can forgive sins? Who's this who causes the lame to walk? Who is this that sets people free from evil spirits? Who is this who teaches with such authority? And then a couple of chapters later, Mark chapter 4, Jesus is sleeping in a boat as him and his disciples are crossing the water, and a storm starts to blow. And the disciples, even though the fishermen, begin to become afraid. And so they go to Jesus and they wake him, shouting, "Jesus, don't you care that we're all going to die?" And Jesus is woken, he stands up, and he says to the wind and to the waves, "Be still." And calmness descends. And the disciples look at each other. And their response to what they have just experienced is to say, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves are obeying him? Who is this? Who is this? Who is this Jesus?" You're getting the hang of this. Now, as I'm going through Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, we have another scene, don't we, where Jesus is kind of apprehended by Jairus, who's one of the leaders of the local synagogue, who's come to Jesus because he's desperate. His daughter is sick and seems to be dying. And Jesus goes with Jairus, but along the way is spoken to by a woman who needs Jesus' help. And much probably to Jairus' frustration, Jesus stops and graciously heals the woman. And by the time they get to Jairus' house, people are wailing and weeping, and they come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, she's dead." But Jesus says, "No, she's not dead, she's just sleeping." And he goes into the room where the young girl is, and he raises her from the dead, taking her by the hand. And again, the implicit question from that explicit demonstration of the power of Jesus even over death is, who is this? You know, these aren't just abstract ideas. As we talk about Jesus as having power over death, Jesus setting people free of fear and evil spirits, Jesus healing and forgiving. We were with a guy a few months ago, again in Bangladesh. We were up in the eastern highland area of Bangladesh. We met a young guy there who was a fairly new Christian, and was pastoring a group of new believers in his area. And he told us a story about his life when we were saying, tell us a little bit about the difference that Jesus has made to you. And he told us the story of being in his village area, and there was a piece of land that no one would cultivate in his area because they were afraid that it was cursed land and that the influence of evil spirits was prevalent in that area. They lived a fairly subsistence-based life, and the power of the spirits was taken very seriously. And when he offered this idea, I think I'm going to cultivate this land, everyone in his village said to him, don't do that, it will bring curse on your family, people will die, don't do it. But this guy had learnt from coming to faith in Jesus. He said, well, I've learned that God is greater than any other spirit, and that God doesn't want me to be a person living in fear, but he wants me to live with freedom. And so he took the brave decision in his context to cultivate the land. And he did that. He planted, he produced a crop, and he was able, from the produce of the land, to feed his family and to buy medicines when his family were unwell. And through that whole process, everyone was expecting something to go wrong for him. But he said, by the power of Jesus, nothing came upon my family. And it spoke to the people in his community, and it spoke to him that what God wants for him was not a life of fear, but a life based in trust in Jesus Christ. Now our context is very different to that. But what Jesus says, who Jesus is, has implications for us as well as for people in all parts of the world. So the question of who is this is a live question in Mark's Gospel. It's a live question at the time of Jesus. It's a live question today in Bangladesh. It's a live question for you and for me. Because our Christian faith, or the Christian faith, isn't about ways of doing religion. It's actually all about a person. It's about Jesus Christ and who he is and what that means for our lives. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus is travelling with his disciples, and he decides that it's time to address this question to his disciples. And he begins by asking them, who are the people saying that I am? And the disciples answer, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elijah, and some say you're one of the prophets, another prophet. But then Jesus focuses the question, and he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter replies, says, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah. And then immediately after that response, Jesus begins to talk about his death and his resurrection. And he talks about it there in Mark chapter 8, and he talks about it again in Mark chapter 9, and he talks about it again in Mark chapter 10. It's almost as if in Mark's telling of the story of the life of Jesus, that declaration, you are the Christ, is the pivot point of the gospel. Because now the who is this question is all focusing on the cross, Jesus' death and his resurrection. And from chapter 11, we have the journey of Jesus towards Jerusalem and the events that lead up to his ultimate crucifixion in chapter 15. And as Jesus is hanging on the cross, dying, the Roman centurion who is standing at the cross, supervising the execution, he makes a declaration that is the answer again to a question that's the running question through Mark's Gospel. Who is this Jesus? The Roman centurion, as he watches Jesus die, says, truly, this man is the Son of God.
truly this man is the Son of God. And that declaration, you could say, is vindicated by the promise of Jesus that he has made, that he would die but rise again. It is vindicated by his resurrection in chapter 16. And therefore, it's no wonder, you could say, that the question that's running through the gospel, Mark has answered with the evidence of the life and the teaching and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, which is why he began his gospel in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, with the conclusion that he had come to. This is the account, or this is the good news of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Now I want to ask you the question that Mark was addressing, that some of our friends in Bangladesh were addressing. I want to address that question to you. Who is Jesus? Who is he? What do you think? What are you going to believe? And why does that matter? Well, for the guys who were in that room in Dhaka, the answer to that question mattered hugely, because their answer to that question and their decision to follow Jesus would have and will have huge repercussions for them. There's risk associated with the answer that they come to in answer to that question. Maybe our situation's different. Maybe there's less risk. But actually, the question is equally significant. We're living, aren't we, through days with far less security than we're used to. We like to think we're in control of life, but if the events of the last months have taught us anything, it is that our level of control is less than sometimes we maybe fool ourselves that it is. And so the question, Emmanuel, God with us, is God with us? I look at Jesus, and the reason that I'm a Christian and that I follow Jesus is that I don't think there is anyone else that compares with him. I've come to believe that he is Emmanuel, God with us. I look at him and I hear his teaching, and I think this is the most profound, earth-shattering, world-changing teaching. I look at his authority over evil, and I believe he is the answer to evil. I look at his offer of forgiveness of sins, and my response to that is, thank God, I need forgiving. I look at the beauty of creation that we see all around us, and I see in Jesus the one who has power in creation. He has power in life. He has power in death. And that's why I follow him. You know, just again, before we came back to the UK, we stood in the same room, actually, as the previous group, doing something a little bit different. Louise, my wife, was doing some safeguarding training, and we've been together with a group of people for 2 days, learning through that training. And we're thinking, how do we finish off this time together? And what we decided to do was stand in a big circle, and we gave everyone words from Luke chapter 4, where Jesus takes some words from the Old Testament that he applies to himself about what it is that God with us would actually mean for people's lives, what Emmanuel would mean for people. And we got everyone in the circle to think about the situation that they were in, the place where they taught children or worked with vulnerable people. And we encouraged them, as they pictured the scene that they worked in, to say these words of Jesus in turn.
And as we close this morning, I want to encourage you to do the same. Because the offer of God being with us, the reality of God being with us, changes things. Say these words as we pray together. The Spirit of the Lord is here. If you feel poor today, then Emmanuel, good news, he is with us. If you feel trapped today, then Emmanuel, Jesus, offers release. If you can't see a way ahead today, then Emmanuel, Jesus, offers sight to the blind. And if you feel oppressed today, Emmanuel, Jesus, offers freedom for captives. Emmanuel, God bless you. He is with us. Amen.
Peter, Louise, thank you so much for sharing with us and for that reminder that Emmanuel, God is with us, wherever we are and whatever we are facing. All of us will have just picked up different things, I think, out of the many illustrations that you gave us, Peter, which were just so helpful. But the one that just resonated with me this morning was that reminder, as you talked about the man who was cultivating his land, that actually we can't live our lives based on fear, but we live our lives trusting and hoping in God, the God who is with us, Emmanuel. Why? Because his love for us. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you because you have loved us. We thank you for that reminder that you are with us. You are our Emmanuel. You are our Saviour and our Lord, the God of heaven and earth. We thank you, Lord, that we can acknowledge that you answer our prayers again and again and again. And we thank you that we have so many testimonies on our notice sheet this week of the way that you have touched lives, transformed lives, being with people in their difficulty and in their strife. We thank you for our church family who care one for another so that we can pray at those times when things are difficult and rejoice with our family when we can see the arrival of a baby girl to Edward and to Doreen, a little sister to Daniela. We thank you that in the times when things are difficult, we can cry out to you and know that our brothers and sisters in Christ are crying out to you. Thank you that you do indeed answer our prayers. And Lord, we continue to remember the way that you use people such as Peter and Louise, who have been sharing with us this morning as they currently are at home, but before they once again return to Bangladesh. Lord, we remember those for whom declaring themselves to be a Christian there in that country means that they will face danger and threats. Lord God, with them, we pray. We thank you for being with Andy and Rihanna, with Teddy and Diddy, with our other BMS partners in East Asia. Wherever we have people working, wherever people are spreading the gospel, Father God, Lord, be with them. Be with Rich and Allison and the church on one, Church 123 on Harold Hill. Be with Winter Gardens on Canby Island. Father God, be with us as we seek to reach out, whether that's through the Christmas activities that we have planned, through our services week by week, through the potential singing of Christmas carols out loud and outside on Christmas Eve. Lord God, in the many different ways that we can share that hope and that reminder of you coming to earth as God with us, Emmanuel, that Father God, we will take the courage, have that hope of wanting to share with one and another that however and whatever we are facing, we do not need to live a life of fear because of you and because of the hope and the trust that we have in you. particularly remember Dugan Fairley and Jayla Bataga after Dugan's father passed last Sunday and after the funeral a couple of days ago. Lord, surround that family, we pray. Uphold them and give them your peace. And we pray too for every one of the family and friends of Sheila, our lovely Sheila, who passed last week. Father God, we know that she had that hope and she is with you. But Lord, pray especially for those who are left behind and who are missing her. And we pray too for the families and the friends of all those over this year who have faced bereavement. Father God, uphold and comfort, we pray. We pray for those in hospital, for those recovering at home, for those who are waiting to go into hospital. Particularly, Lord, we remember Barbara Palmer in hospital today, waiting. We thank you for the doctors who are caring for her, for the nursing staff and all those within the hospital. We pray for others too that we know who are in hospital this day. Be with them, Lord, we pray. Be with Malcolm as he is still waiting for surgery, Baba Khan's brother. Be with those, Lord, who are just struggling at this time. Whether they're struggling physically or mentally, whether we are struggling for all those because of what we're facing spiritually. Father God, give us strength and certainty and that reminder as we've had running through our service today of the hope that we have because you are with us. We particularly pray that you'll be with our emergency services, our doctors, our nurses, our medical teams within the hospitals, but also out on the streets, our police and our fire services, all those, our street passers who are seeking to make a difference in the lives of those for whom this time is particularly difficult. Lord, we pray for protection. We pray for strength. We pray for peace. We pray for a good night and a good day when they are resting. Lord, that they may know that you are upholding them and we are praying for them at this time. And Lord, we do continue to pray for Lillian and for Jemima and her mum, for Don and for Daphne and for Brian, for Pauline and Ken and Mavis and Arthur and for Colin. Lord, we know that your hand is on them. And we continue to bring them before you now. And for each one of us, wherever we may be watching this service, we thank you that you are with us too, that you are God with us, Emmanuel. And that as our service concludes in a moment, that Lord, your time with us doesn't conclude, but you continue to be with us each and every day. No matter what we are facing or how we are feeling, love us and you want us to trust in you. We thank you that you are indeed our Emmanuel. Amen. And we have that hope that we can share one with another, as I say, whether it's declaring to our neighbours what we believe and that what they could engage with during this Christmas and Advent period, whether it's on the Christmas treasure trail or in many different ways in the things that are happening in the coming weeks, or just by showing our love that we have in God with them who may have no hope. We declare that as we sing our final song together. And maybe as we sing that chorus, "Here I am, Lord," we can again just seize the day of maybe finding a way that God is challenging us to share that hope of God with us, Emmanuel, with all those we meet in the coming days. Isaiah 41 verse 13 says, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." We have that hope. As we leave our time together, as we watch the Hope Challenge video one more time after I've concluded the service, know that God is with us. He reaches out his hand. All we need to do is to reach ours out and know we have that hope and the confidence of God being with us. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.